Turn to two places in your Bible, Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Galatians 5 and Romans 7. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, look at verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, watch it, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Keep your finger in Romans chapter 7. This would be a good place for us to pray, and then we'll get into the meat of the study tonight. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be able to take what you've shown us in Galatians chapter 5 with what we'll see in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 8 tonight, and learn from what we're seeing how to do what we heard in the testimonies tonight, how to do what you're showing us to do, Father, so that you can accomplish in us a work that's pleasing to you. Help us to do that tonight, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, you can't do the things that you would. At the end of verse 17, you cannot do the things that you would. And you know what that leads us to do sometimes? It leads us to say, well, that's the way it is. You know? And it kind of becomes a justification, or it kind of becomes an admission of a repetitious sinful behavior in our lives. Turn to Romans chapter 7 and let's continue. Verse 15. But we'll start with verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. He's a schizo. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good, because the law said, you shouldn't do that. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, like the law of gravity, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, when you read that passage of Scripture and you consider what he says in Galatians chapter 5, you cannot do the things that you would. It sounds like, as Christians, we are stuck. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like we're stuck, and that what we've got is we've got a situation where, because sin dwells in us, we always are going to have to deal with the same sins and literally have an excuse, because Paul says, well, it's not me, it's sin that dwells in me. And we have an excuse to continue in something that we don't even want to do. You cannot do the things that you would, or Paul says, but what I hate, that do I. Now, Romans chapter 7 is in the context of what he said in verse 14, and if you read the whole thing, it expands on this, but he says in verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul unto sin. So he's still in the context here, when he's speaking in Romans chapter 7, about the law telling us about things that we're supposed to do and the law telling us things that we're not supposed to do, and then finding that because of sin in us, when the law says don't do this, we end up doing it anyway, and when the law says you ought to do it, we don't do it. And so the question with all of this is, how do we get out of this? How do we grow out of these sins that are sticking points, sticking places in our lives? How do we grow out of that? Or can we? Is Paul saying that we're stuck? Or is there a way, by what we've seen in these passages, to actually be able to have some victory in our lives where we're not continuing to do the same thing the same way and, as they say, expecting different results? Now, what does Paul mean in verse 15 of Romans chapter 7 when he says, that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. What's he talking about there? Well, what's he talking about is this. When the law points out a sin, you know you're not supposed to do it. Is there any time in your life where the law has pointed out something that you were doing that you weren't supposed to do and you knew after it pointed it out, hey, that's what, I'm not supposed to do that? Now, naturally, I'm talking about the natural man, this that you see standing here in front of you right now. The thing a man knows, and I say a man, I'm talking about a person, a man or a woman. The thing a person knows that he is not supposed to do is the thing he ends up doing. And the thing that he is supposed to do is the thing he ends up not doing. Let me give an example. He reads the Bible, and the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And so he says, okay, you know what? I am not supposed to cuss. Okay? And we all agree on that. And there are varieties. I did a thing on taking the name of the Lord in vain, and it's amazing how many ways a Christian can cuss without saying what the world says. I'm not supposed to cuss. I hate it, he says. And then a situation arises and he cusses. And he goes, the very thing I hate is the thing that I do. You ever found yourself in a situation like that? I don't mean about cussing. I saw all those heads shaking. Look at all those people around here you don't know that cuss. I mean, he did the very thing that he despises and the very thing that he said, I'm not going to do. You've been there, and you may be there. You may have done it today, whatever it is. All right, he says, on the positive side, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be faithful to church, and I'm going to read my Bible. You ever said that to yourself? All right, and then something comes up, and the very thing he said he would do, he doesn't do. And he can't do it. Not on his own. If he does, let's say he says, you know what I'm going to do? As an example, bless God, I'm going to read 10 pages of my Bible every day from now on till Jesus comes. Now, let's say he's done that for 5 years running and hadn't missed a day. You know what? And let's say that he did that because this is something that he told himself that he was going to do and that he was able to accomplish it in spite of his own flesh. You know what comes forth every time he tells somebody else that he's been doing that? Pride, puffiness, self, puffed up, self-righteousness. Why? Because he was able to take this flesh, which really didn't want to do that, and corral it by his willpower or some other means to make it do that very thing. And suddenly, the thing that he was hoping he would be able to accomplish that was good is now something that is not acceptable to God because there's all these other motives, this pride and other stuff that have been mixed in with it that have everything in the world to do with him and his sinful flesh. Do you understand that? Well, you know what? We're not stuck in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 21. The passage goes on. And he gets down here to verse 24 and he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he says in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." In other words, my mind is telling me this is what you ought to do, and my flesh is bound by this law of sin to do the opposite thing. And he says, the guy that helps me with this wretchedness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So what happens when Jesus Christ enters the picture? What happens when Jesus Christ is, you receive him and he becomes your Savior? Chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, when you go back and look at Romans chapter 7, he's not talking about the Spirit of God. He's talking about himself. He says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Have we not lived long enough as Christians to know that's absolutely true? He's not contemplating the Spirit of God doing anything in his life in Romans chapter 7 until he gets to verse 25. In Romans chapter 8, he now exposes you to the victory that we have in Christ through the Spirit of God. The law of verse 2 says, "Of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law," verse 3, "could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." So he's saying, when the law said to me, "This is what you ought to do," and I said, "You know what, that's a good idea," and I started to try to do it in the flesh, I found out I couldn't do it. And when the law said, "This is something you're not supposed to do," and I tried to do that in the flesh, I found out that the thing that I was not supposed to do is the very thing that I did. And I hated it because the law said to me, "Don't do this and do that." But the law was weak, verse 3, through the flesh. Jump down. I mean, you can read the whole passage down to verse 14. It's really good, but we want to keep the ball rolling, so to speak. So jump down here to verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." You can't please God in the flesh. It's impossible. So he says here, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But," verse 9, "you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If you're saved, you've got him. If you're not saved, then he's none of yours. "And if Christ be in you," verse 10, "the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors. We're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes in you, and now you can't anyway, but now you're not trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. You can recognize the flesh is dead, and now you can look to the Spirit of God who is in you, who has made you free from the law of sin and death, and allow him to He says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body so that you can live without those things that have plagued you. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. All right, let me ask you something. Your flesh has the opportunity on a Sunday afternoon, your flesh has the opportunity on a Sunday afternoon, if you're still watching NFL football, to watch an NFL football game or read your Bible. Which one is it going to do? Your flesh. Help me here. This is not a trick question. This is an obvious question. It's going to watch NFL football. Your flesh is. But you just got home from church where whoever preached that morning said, bless God, you ought to be in your Bible every day. And you hadn't been in your Bible. And you know, if you watch that game and the other one you want to watch, and you go back to church, you come home tired and go to sleep, you're not going to read it at all that day. So you're sitting here having a war with yourself. Because you're saying, you know, I know I ought to be reading my Bible, but I don't want to read my Bible. I want to watch that TV. Now, that's your flesh. And that's how it always, you know what?
Well, you're 93 years old and you've been saved for 115 years.
That stinking flesh is still going to want to grab that remote control and watch that game. It doesn't change. You can't get it to behave. And I'm not telling you, I'm using that as a funny illustration. I'm not telling you if you watch NFL football on Sunday afternoon, something wrong with you. I'm just telling you, you're just following your flesh, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's all I'm telling you. But you can get over that. All right. Now the Spirit, on the other hand, could care less about football. The Spirit, I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit is not in heaven wagering with Peter on the outcome of a Dallas Cowboy game. They're not laying odds on it up there. Okay? He could care less. Just nothing about that has any influence, effect, or anything with the Spirit of God. These guys, when they score a touchdown, they may say, you know, well, thank God, God gave me the ability to do this and so forth. But you know, the Spirit of God is just, you just got to know, He is not like in there filling this guy so he can catch this ball and make another $5 million in his contract next year. It's just not his deal, okay? So, the flesh and the Spirit that afternoon are having a war. The Spirit is hungering for some Bible time, and the flesh is hungering for some football time. And that's just the way it is. That's how life is. And I'm giving you, again, a silly little illustration, just adding some humor to the deal. But listen, the things that the flesh desires are contrary to the things that the Spirit desires. Always. World without end. Amen. That never changes. The Spirit is against the flesh. The desires of the Spirit are contrary to the desires of the flesh. Always. Without fail. If the flesh gets involved in a spiritual thing, it will mess it up and stink it up with pride or self-righteousness or look at me, any of that stuff. Same like we've talked about before. One of the things that really messes up soul winning or the opportunity to speak with other people is that you have a personal stake in the outcome. I have won another soul to Christ. And that's when you put your dirty, stinking fingers of flesh over something that's the Spirit of God and only the Spirit of God could do. All right, so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, when he gets to the end of that verse and he says, you cannot do the things that you would, he's not saying you can never read your Bible or you can never be used by God to lead a soul to Jesus Christ or you can never pray to the satisfaction of the Lord. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, The Spirit leads you and won't do what the flesh wants. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as the when the Spirit is leading you, He will not let you. When the Spirit's leading you and you are yielded to the Spirit, He is not going to let you do what the flesh wants to do. You can't. All right? And when the flesh is leading you, the flesh will not do what the Spirit wants. It won't. It can't. Because only the Spirit of God can do those things. It can't. Does it imitate? All the time. That's where hypocrisy comes in. When the flesh learns to imitate what the Spirit does, oh, bless God, I've prayed about it. When you really hadn't and the Spirit of God really hadn't led you, stinky, foul. You just stepped in something on your way in the door and whoo, man, that's smelly. Why? Because that's nasty flesh imitating something that only the Spirit of God. You can't do that stuff. You cannot do the things that you would in the flesh. Only the Spirit of God can do those things. And when the Spirit of God is leading you, He's going to drive you far away from those things that the flesh wants to do. So what is the secret? How, with this great war that takes place inside of us. I was talking to a fellow last night and he called me. He says, I'm not even sure I'm saved. And you've heard me say something like this before. But he goes, man, I just have this great war going on inside. And I said, well, that gives me a great deal of comfort that you are in fact saved, because there wouldn't be any war if the Spirit of God wasn't in there. You know, the war is an indication that there really is a fight. The fact is, he's so used to, you know, kind of playing this thing out in the flesh that he's honestly confused a little bit about this yielding to the Spirit and letting the Spirit of God do some of these things. So how do you get there? Well, he says so in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. This is how you do it. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how you do it. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you say, well, how do you do that? Well, we're going to save that for another Wednesday. No. the blessing of preaching is to get it practical enough where you can do something with it. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only. The hard thing about preaching is to put the cookies on the shelf low enough where you can figure out how to do something with it. All right. Walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does sin dwell in you? We saw that in Romans chapter 7. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Yes, we see that in Romans chapter 8. We see it in Galatians chapter 5. The Spirit of God is in there. All right, at any moment, at any split second in my life, I can follow one or the other. At any moment. Do you know, do you have any consciousness whatsoever when you are following the leadership of the Spirit of God? Do you have any consciousness of that at all? You do, not by feeling. You know, people that are looking for some sensual feeling or start looking for some sort of, you know, ooey-ooey, and they get it. A lot of people run around here with an ooey-ooey. Oh, that's the Spirit of God, and they're talking in tongues and doing all kind of crazy things. One of the ways you know when you're following the Spirit of God is that you are fulfilling the things that He has recorded in the Bible. There's an obedience to the words of God. The flesh cannot stand this. The Spirit of God absolutely loves this. He wrote the book. This is His manual. And so He is going to lead you in accordance with the words of God. All right, that said, is it possible to be led by the Spirit of God knowledgeably without being in this Bible? Huh? It's not. Because this is how the Spirit of God will speak to you in your spirit and lead you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how He's going to lead you. So people who want to live the Christian life, who think they can do it apart from this book, are living in the flesh, and you cannot do the things that you would. You can't. Only the Spirit of God can do those. So you have to be in this book, and this is how He will lead you in accordance with what He says. Does that mean that you are going to stumble and bumble a little bit more at the beginning, and as you get more of the Bible in you and are more accustomed to following what it says, that you won't stumble and bumble quite as much? Absolutely. It's called spiritual growth. You start out, you can't even crawl. You get a little Bible in you, a little milk in you, you get a little health in you, Now you can crawl, and then after that you can walk, and after that you can run. Okay? And you'll never get there without following the leader. Walk, he says, in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May I ask you this, by contrast, do you know when you're walking in the flesh? Boy, is that not obvious? It's more obvious than what it is to be walking in the Spirit. It's very obvious. And when you catch yourself at any moment, suddenly in the flesh, I heard a preacher one time, and boy, he ripped off something. I was like, "Woo! Where did that come from?" He goes, "I was just in the flesh, brother." I said, "Wow. Sounded like you wanted to be." Get that string of stuff out. And then I laugh about that because I found myself in the same situation. Found myself in the situation. Of course we do. So when you're walking in the flesh, you know it. When you catch yourself walking in the flesh, that's when you want to stop. What do you say? Stop, drop, and roll right then. And say, "Lord, I know I'm in the flesh right now. I consciously, prayerfully yield to the Spirit of God in my life, recognizing I need to be yielded to you so that I will not do that or so that I will do this." It's a conscious thing that comes from absolutely listening to His leadership as He leads you through the words of God. You know, your flesh, just say this as we close, your flesh has a pattern. Your flesh has a pattern. My flesh does. I mean, I can tell you under certain circumstances exactly what I'm going to do in my flesh. I know, because it's so much a part of me. It's my personality. It's the way I'm built. It's how I am. And under those circumstances, if I allow the flesh to do what it wants to do, I can guarantee you how it's going to go. I've lived in this body so long. Knowing that about me, and you knowing that about yourself, what you want to do is you want to recognize, as I see this circumstance becoming part of the current situation in my life, I need to be doubly sure that I am yielded to the Spirit of God so that I don't do what I do after the pattern of my flesh in this situation. And only God can get me through this. Jesus said, "Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And then He said, "Without me you can do nothing." So if you will walk in the Spirit, then you won't be able to do, walking in the Spirit at the same time, some of the things that your flesh wants to do, but you will be able to do those things that you want to do, that you learn that you should do, based upon what God said that you do, by yielding to the Spirit of God. That's how you do it. And hopefully it's been a help to you. It surely has been a help to me. Father, we're very thankful tonight for the opportunity to open your words. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to really, really concentrate on what we've learned tonight, because we realize that there is a great, great, wonderful help here for us in our Christian lives. We can get past this struggle of trying to do what we're supposed to do in the flesh, knowing now that we can't, and that rather we need to yield to the Spirit of God so that your Spirit, who is contrary to our flesh, can accomplish in us those things we couldn't do. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.